Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking to Leanne Hager. Leanne is the granddaughter of two of the finest people that ever walked in this county, Ellistine Hager of Hager and Cunda Funeral Home, and his wife, teacher May Florence Hager. We'll have memories about those two people in just a moment after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Good morning. Welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue remembering people and places and things. And today we're going to talk about two people who I knew very well and had the pleasure to work with one of them for many years. And I don't know that you could have found any two better people in our county. And that is Ellistine and May Florence Hager. With us today is one of their granddaughters. Leanne Hager is with us today, and she's going to help us reminisce about her grandparents. Now, we must say, Leanne, right at the start, is your dad had a little incident, I think, last year, and had a little car wreck. Is that right?
Accident.
Is he doing better?
He's doing much better.
Good.
Thank you.
And we had talked to Ray about doing this, but, he's trying to heal up, and we want him to heal up, and we wish him the best. But let's start, if you can, with both him and her. And folks, I must tell you, because we have people in this listening program that aren't from here, that maybe haven't been here for a while. I worked with him at the funeral home, so if you ever hear me refer to Teeny, I'm talking about Ellistine. Ellistine was known to most people as either Teeny or Uncle Teeny. You all called him Paul.
I called him Pawpaw.
Pawpaw. But a lot of people in the community, and even myself included, Teeny was what we called him. So if you hear me, and she was known as Mama Sissy.
Called her Sissy. All right.
So if you hear me refer to Teeny and Sissy, I'm talking about Ellistine and May Florence Hager. So with that being said, do you know, Leanne, now I know they were both natives.
Yes.
Of our county. Do you have some background on when they were born and who their parents were?
Yes. I could go back several generations as far as looking at the family tree, but I'm not going to know as much about them as maybe the older generation
sure.
will. My grandfather's, Papa's parents were Arch Hager Sr. and Murdy Ann House Hager.
Now, Arch was a sheriff at one time in this county, right?
He was.
Yeah.
And actually, I can't give you the years, but Papa was a deputy sheriff.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever knew that. And that was 1938 to 1946. He was
now,
deputy sheriff.
You mentioned, and let's say the Hager family was huge in
yes.
that, was there nine?
Nine children.
And I've often said that if, especially, and this is not to slight the four women because they were all fabulous, but if you look at the five guys, they should open a hamburger joint, shouldn't they?
The five guys.
If you look at the five Hager boys, I don't know of any family in this county that has had that many people be that prolific, because you have Ellistine, who is known for the funeral home, C.R., who was superintendent and president of Asbury and all that. You had Lyman and Arch Jr., who had the construction company. And then you had Buddy, who owned hemp hills. I mean, they all were really successful in our community. And we're going to get to the rest of those on this program at some point in time. In fact, we've already been talking the four girls.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do a show kind of about all of them together with some of the kids. So that we look forward to. But Arch and your great-grandmother, now she was a Howe.
Yes.
Is that right?
On Papa's, yes.
And I think, because we had him on our program not long ago, he was, they were related, Bob Fain.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't Bob, I believe, in Ellistine first cousins, maybe?
They were.
If they were, because his mother was a house also. So that's a connection down to Pollard and all in that area.
And I have found connections everywhere that didn't even exist.
I bet. Well, when you got that many family, I mean, there's a lot of cousins and a lot of things like that. And May Florence, tell us who her parents were.
Maudie Nola. Foley Jacobs. So she was a Foley. And her father was Homer Welch Jacobs.
Okay.
And my Uncle Lee, Sissy's brother,
right,
was named after, he was named Lee Welch.
So, Lee Welch Jacobs. Yeah. Now, Lee Welch Jacobs, some people may recognize that name because he's been brought up in the past, too. He was on the Knoxville Council, I think, at one time. And did he not work at a car dealership or was a mechanic, I think, something like that?
He, Uncle Raymond, Sissy's other brother, worked at the as a car mechanic.
Okay.
Now, Uncle Lee, whom I was named after, I didn't know him really very well because he died 2 years before I was born.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a lot of his backstory.
Well, I know it's a huge family. And we could tie on in. You mentioned Foley. Then you're getting now you're getting into Connie Royce McDonald and all that bunch with Renlin Foley, who I adored and always loved that lady. So do you know how they met? How did they get together, Sissy and Teenie?
They were school sweethearts. I don't know that it happened in high school. I've heard stories that they kind of had a liking for each other before high school. And Sissy was playing hard to get. You know, she was looking around. But Paw was not going to give up. He knew who he wanted, and that's the way it was going to be. So I was trying to remember the years they may. I have pictures of it, but the years they may have graduated from high school. And early 20s, mid-20s, I guess, is when it was. But they married in 1929, so it was pretty close after high school.
Now, I guess they would have graduated from Knoxville High.
Yeah.
Both of them would.
Yeah.
They were married in 29.
Now,
they have one child, your dad.
My dad.
When did Ray come along?
Ray, my father, dad, was born in 1939.
Now, Ray, along with your mom, Sue, have been educators, retired now, but were educators all of their life. And I assume that Ray took that from his mama.
I believe he did. I mean, this is... if you want to talk about all the educators, we need to schedule another show. But yes, I mean, he was certainly influenced by her.
Yeah.
She taught for 42 years, and we can talk about where and so forth later if you'd like.
Yeah.
But Dad was a teacher the majority of the time here in Jessamine County, and Mom taught 30 years, the majority in Jessamine County.
And then you're a teacher.
I'm a teacher. I've been teaching 25 years.
And your sister, Tracy.
Yes, and she's been teaching about 23.
And her husband, Bill.
Is a principal.
And so it is truly. And then, of course, you've got the CR connection and all that. I mean, education has been a mainstay in your all's family for a long time.
Yes, and I just, as I mentioned to you before we started, I just started a new job in Jessamine County this week, and I visited many of the schools.
Yeah.
And in each school, I've seen somebody I know or I'm related to.
Wow.
And so it's been kind of a family reunion that way as well.
And you got to be careful how you act, too.
I've had teachers when I was in school here who were relatives.
Yeah.
So I didn't have any room for error. And I was really aware of that the whole time.
I understand. Well, they got together and got married. And a lot of people who remember Ellistine will always, of course, identify him with Gwen Kurtzenhager Funeral Home, but he didn't get into that right off the bat. He was involved in some what else before he became a funeral director?
He was involved in so much. You know, I'm sure I'm going to leave something out, to be honest. But I have a list of some dates so I can remember him because he was so involved. But he became a clerk for the Kentucky Legislature in 1930. And as I understand it, I asked my dad a little bit about it. He did not miss a session, except for one, with one governor, until 1972.
You know, he often talked to me about that, and I remember him naming names like Ruby LaFoon, who was a governor. For you people out there that don't know much about Kentucky history, we actually did have a governor named Ruby LaFoon. But yeah, a lot of people don't know about that part of his life, that he was in the session on the floor taking the notes and writing down what was happening. And I mean, even when he got in the funeral business, he still went and did that in Frankfort, right?
Right. And, you know, I'm sure that that kind of influenced his political affiliations and career and so forth. He wasn't a formal politician, but boy, did he know how to you know, work with people and make things happen.
And one thing, since you brought that up, he was on the every county folks in Kentucky has what's called a local election board, and it's made up of the county clerk and the county attorney and the sheriff, and then there is a representative from the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. Teenie Ellistine was the Democratic person on that. Do you know how many years that was?
over 60. I don't know the actual years, but
over 60 years.
You know, I'm kind of the family historian, so I was able to look up some dates.
That's
I don't have everything memorized, but and I have pictures of him. You know, we were talking about the legislature and then the election board. I think one of the pictures comes from a an article about him, but well, I know they coincided, and one certainly had to influence the other.
Right. Well, I know he was on that board for as many years as he was on that board. Curry Teeter was the Republican person, and you know what, folks? If you want to see, or if you can't now, but if you wanted to see how people of different parties can be true friends, that was the two to look at. There was none closer. He was as close to Curry, I guess, as was his own brothers.
Right. And you can see how, even though you may have different political beliefs, that you can get along.
Sure you can.
You can compromise.
That's right.
Let me talk to some presidential candidates.
You can be friends. And
you can be
live,
friends, and you can be work together to get the job done.
That's right. Well, he was in the legislature, and he did a lot of work there in the elections, but most of the people knew Ellestine because of the funeral home. Now, do you know why, of all the things that could go on? You know, he has a brother who's in education. He has two brothers who go in the excavating business. He has a brother who goes to pharmacy school. And about the same time, from the best I remember, because I think Buddy went to pharmacy school in Louisville, Ellestine decided to be a mortician. And he went to the old Kentucky School of Embalming and Funeral Directing up in Louisville. Do you have any idea why he wanted to get into that or why he did?
I have a story to explain that, because when I was a child, I didn't really understand why anybody would want to go into that. That was the most scary thing to me to even imagine.
Yeah.
And, of course, they lived where my sister and brother-in-law live now, right across the corner there from the funeral home. And I remember staying with them at night. You know, we were spending the night with our grandparents. And he would be called out on a death call, and it would be this cold and this snowy.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought how hard that must be and how scary that must be. So, you know, jump to a few years later when I had a little bit more of an inquisitive side to me. I asked, why in the world do you do this? I can't understand, you know, because he was the only one where I didn't really ask a lot of questions about his work.
Yeah.
I didn't want to know
about
how you embalm and how you console people in that kind of situation. And he said that that was the best way he knew how to help people.
Yeah.
Because that was the time when they hurt the most.
That's right.
And that was the time he could help them.
That's right.
And I think that that word help, he was a comforter all the time. And he knew how, somehow, he had the magic touch, I suppose, is one way to think of it. But he knew how to help comfort people in grief.
Yes, he did.
And that is a talent, a God-given talent.
It is. It is.
And I know you did the same thing.
Yeah, but I don't know if I was as good at it as he was. He was the master. You know, he got into that, too. And we might mention the funeral home he was in was started by a fellow named Gwen. And he was a county judge executive at that time. It was around the turn of the century. And Judge Gwen started the funeral home. It was really funny, and we discussed this in a program we had earlier about Holton West, is that Judge Gwen was a brother-in-law to Bill Betts of Betts and West Funeral Home.
Okay.
They were brother-in-laws.
Irony. Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, Judge Gwen had the funeral home, Democratic judge, and eventually a fella came into it named Bailey Kurtz, and it became Gwen Kurtz, and then Ellestine got into it, and that became Gwen Kurtz and Hager. When Ellestine was there, I'm sure Judge Gwen was still around, but the main time that people remember was him and Mr. Kurtz.
Sure.
And Teeny always, of course, as you said, lived on that corner. Bailey Kurtz lived up the street a little bit, but I think Bailey, of course, I can remember from Teeny, he would tell me that Bailey would call him in the middle of the night on a death call, and in fact, back then, Leanne, they ran the ambulance, too, with a hearse.
Right. I remember seeing the vehicles go out in the middle of the night.
Yeah, there wasn't an ambulance. It was a hearse, a hearse ambulance. But anyway, Ellestine said that every time that Mr. Kurtz would call him, the first thing he would say when he answered the phone, Tina, you got your pants on. It could be 3 in the morning.
Probably did.
And that's what he'd say. Tina, you got your pants on. And we got a call, and Elstein would get up, and he would go in weather like this and all and help the people. And, you know, it was pretty much a 2 or 3 man show. You know, they had some people that helped them, like one of the people that I remember so well that Elstein introduced me to was Jerry Sanders and some others, Mr. Reed, and there's several. But, you know, it was Tina and Bailey. But Tina became known as the embalmer. He set the standard. I know when I got into it, people, even in other towns, you compared yourself to Elstein Hager because he was the best. He could just make that deceased person look so natural. Mm-hmm. It was a talent. It was a God-given talent.
It was talent.
It was. But he really enjoyed that, and he stayed in it for a long time. Now, while he was doing that, let's get on another track. Your grandmother was teaching. Name some of the places she taught.
I really would have to do a search of Jessamine County schools to get all of them, but she taught back in the days of the one-room schoolhouse. She taught all 8 grades, and she would, you know, tell us about that. For many years, I know she taught at Mount Lebanon and Little Hickman and places like that, but she taught at Nicholsville Elementary School for many years and then retired in 1970, I believe it was, and she had taught 42 years.
Wow.
So she had seen...
She started really young then.
She taught 19 years before she got her teaching certificate.
Really? Of course, back then...
You didn't... It was different, right?
Yeah, right.
It was much different. She said, I aced that, because she'd been teaching so long. When she had to get her certificate, you know, the rules changed and so forth. But I have heard so many people in town who knew my grandparents talk to me about how she was the best teacher they ever had.
Yeah.
And how Papa was the best funeral director they remember when they had to be there. And I think that my sister and I know my parents and my dad, and my mom was influenced a lot, too. We took a lot from them.
Sure.
I mean, we're always kind of, I am always thinking, well, with what I'm doing right now, would they be proud?
Yeah, and they would. And they would. And I was going to ask you, and of course, you know, the funeral business has changed somewhat, but you've been involved in teaching. What would Sissy say about now, education now?
Oh, wow.
What do you think she'd say if you could say, look at what all we have to do? What do you think? How do you think she'd react?
Well, I would even have to start with what my dad would say. But going back to her generation, you know, it was a different time and it was a different world.
Oh, yeah.
And we did not have the same kind of population that is evident now. There's a, I won't go into parent support, not that kind of thing.
Well, it was there.
Yeah, it
was
there.
Much more than there is now. And you know,
and I don't want to insult anyone.
Well, and we want to say there are a lot of good kids and a lot of good parents in our town.
They're great.
But, but it's not like it used to be.
It's absolutely not.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely critical.
Yeah, right.
So anyone listening, that's my ad for the day. But talking about what she would think, back then it was a, as I understood it, it was a time when... You know, it was the basics. It was a system that was founded in 1893, something like that. And they still taught that. Mm-hmm. We still sometimes teach like that today. Mm-hmm. But right before she passed away, I got my first laptop.
Yeah.
And it was a humongous thing. But I was at the forefront of technology with a laptop because everybody else either didn't have a computer or they had a monster room full of the desktop. And, you know, I remember I would take it to school and all the kids would gather around. It was just such a wild idea. But I had gotten this laptop and I was absolutely determined to get all of her great recipes on my computer. Now, she was at a point in her life where, well, she had her cookbook and it was all handwritten. Mm-hmm. But she didn't want to hand me that.
And let me stop you there.
Because she had.
She did. She probably had the most beautiful handwriting of any woman I've ever seen. It was amazing.
It was perfect.
This was something that you'd need a computer to replicate. I mean, it was that good.
Yeah. She had the kind of handwriting that, you know, for each letter. I remember in elementary school there was a poster above the chalkboard. Mm-hmm. It was long and it went up. And it showed you how to form every letter.
Right.
And she formed every letter perfectly.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah, everything she wrote.
And Tracy and I both, this was before my brother Chris came along, we stayed with them quite often after she retired, and we were still very young. And we would practice our letters just like, I mean, she would form the A, capital A, and the small A. And I would write all across that line all the capital A's I could. And, and you know, she would look at it and help me with it and so forth. And so while I can have, if I'm in a hurry, I can have very scratchy notes. I can write similar to her, but nowhere near
perfection.
It was amazing.
Well, I took you off the path there. Did you get the cookbook, the recipes then?
Well, I didn't get all of them. But what she wanted to do, because this computer was such a far-fetched idea that, she wasn't using it. I was the one trying to learn to use it. She decided she would rewrite all of her recipes.
Yeah.
And she did a great many of them. And that's kind of when I knew things were going downhill, because her handwriting wasn't. And she was kind of ashamed of that, I think. I mean, she understood why it was happening, but she was kind of shaky, and it just didn't look right. So I got many of them on the computer. I have her cookbook, her little notebook where all the handwritten recipes are. I'm not a great cook, but when I try, or when many of us cook in the family for Thanksgiving and Christmas, a lot of the recipes are still hers. They're not as good when we do.
I understand. I tell you what I always remember. I had not a lot of her cooking, but at Christmas time, she would always send me a container of the Chex Mix.
Yeah.
With the pretzels and the peanuts. And oh my gosh, I've tried to do it. I've tried to replicate. I can't.
You can't do it.
I can't. Yeah. Not like she did it. And I guess she cooked three meals a day for that man, didn't she? I mean, Ellistine, and he had to eat a certain time. I mean, if we had a funeral scheduled at a certain time, at 12 o'clock, it didn't matter what was going on, he was going to eat. And she had that lunch cooked, and it was amazing. Now, Ellistine, we'll go back over to him for a minute. You know, he did all those years and spent many years in the embalming room. And I think when him and Bailey was there, Bailey more dealt with funeral end of it, and Teeny did a lot of the embalming end of it. When I finally got into it, and you know, I probably could have done this show by myself just telling stories about him, but I can't tell the history of his life and things. But as far as the funeral home, and I probably could write a book just on things I remember from down there. But I will tell you a couple of stories about him and things I remember that he did and the way he acted. One of the things that I will always appreciate about Ellistine Hager, when I went in there, you know, when you start a job new, and I'm not talking about like you just did, I'm talking about when you first became a teacher, you run into people who have taught for many, many years, and they don't mind letting you know they've taught for many, many years.
And you know who you are.
Yeah, and you and you can do that, and you do your best, but they'll come along as like, well, you shouldn't do it that way. Now, that happens in all occupations.
And I wasn't talking about Jess McCann.
But I went to embalming school. I went to mortuary school, and I got my diploma and learned how to do it from your grandfather. And I remember several times, because when we went, you know, I went to embalming school 50 years after he did. So there was different techniques. And so I remember, though, a couple times at the funeral home when there would be something come up, and I'd look at him and I'd say, Teeny, let's try this, something completely new. Not one time did he ever look at me and say, well, that won't work.
Right.
Never. We did it.
Yeah.
If it
together.
Worked, that's right. If it didn't work, we decided we won't do that again. But if it did work, he'd start doing it that way, even though he'd done it different for 50 years. That's the first thing I remember. The second thing I remember about him, and we'll always appreciate, right there towards the end of my tenure, before I became circuit clerk, Ellistine got to where he couldn't see real well. You know, his eyesight was failing him, and he was getting up in years.
He worked till he was 93.
He did. But there was a lot of nights where we would go and go to the hospital and get somebody, and we'd let him sleep. We wouldn't call him, and he'd come in the next morning because we wanted him to get his rest. And he'd come in, and he'd look. But I remember when his eyes started to fail him, I'd be working, and he'd come over, and he'd look at me, and he'd say, you're in your light. You can't see. Well, I could. He couldn't see, but he thought I could. But I remember I in the last couple of years, I would work with people and deceased bodies, and he may not do a whole lot. He may help dress, but that's about it. So we'd have the visitation, and a family would walk in. Now, you got to remember, I learned from him, so I emulated him. A family would walk in, they would go and see their deceased family member, and they would come back to him and say, that looks so good. You did such a good job. Now, a lot of people would go, well, I thank you very much, and that'd be the end of it. Here's what your granddad would do. well, I thank you very much, but you need to thank the person that did the work. And he'd point at me.
Mm-hmm.
He never took the credit for my jobs.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
He always gave me the credit. And that he was that way in everything. I mean, he was that kind of a personality in everything he did. This man was so special to a lot of people, Leanne, and he did such a good job. But if you look at that family, that Hager bunch, they're all that way.
They are.
It's bred in them.
And that's what I like to think.
Yeah.
We're continuing.
Right.
With our,
right,
you know, my teaching and Tracy's teaching. She's one of the hardest working teachers,
oh, yeah,
in this state.
She's a good one.
In the country. And, you know, and my parents teach. I kind of have a similar personality working,
yeah,
as a writing coach. I have been working with teachers more for 9 years than teaching,
yeah,
in the classroom.
Yeah.
And while I like to coach them like you were, mm-hmm, coached by my, mm-hmm, grandfather, mm-hmm, I want them to, you know, and we try new ways and whatever.
Right.
I want them to become the teacher they,
right,
can be. And I want them to take the credit.
Sure.
And I think that has always been part of the family legacy.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, our time is almost over, but before we go, there's one thing I want you to talk about real quick that you've kind of done since we've lost Teenie and Sissy. You wrote a book.
Wrote two books.
Mm-hmm. Tell us real quick about those and how proud they would be of that. What kind of books did you write?
I wrote, I have written two. They're about middle school age, if you're going to, you, mm-hmm, know, put a, mm-hmm, grade level on it. It's a mystery series.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so far there are two, all the road trip mysteries. I have been all my life. I've wanted to travel the world.
Yeah.
That was part of what, you know, my grandmother and my Aunt Mary,
yeah,
Jacobs, kind of instilled in us, is that you've got to see the world to understand better your own culture.
Right.
So I thought about that for a long time, and I wanted to write with this kind of travel undertone.
Mm-hmm.
And so the series is the Road Trip Mysteries. The first book is called The Ragged Suitcase. My main character gets to travel to Nantucket. The main character is loosely based on my niece, Amy. And
good
she
girl.
Goes with, yeah, she
good
goes
girl.
With her... travel writer aunt,
yeah,
loosely based,
yes,
on myself, who is a little scatterbrained and that kind of thing. Doesn't know what's going on this whole,
yeah,
time she's solving the mystery. But anyway, we went to Nantucket in the first book because that was a place that I loved to visit. I was on a fellowship at a school in Vermont. And then the second book is called Savannah Belle, so we went to Savannah, Georgia.
You were great. Have,
yeah,
you got a third one planned?
I have an idea.
Good.
But you're talking about writing books. I have been a writer I have identified myself as a writer since I understood why educators should identify themselves,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
since 1993.
Yeah.
And I have written lots of short pieces and long pieces and whatnot. But I've also started a book on both of my grandparents.
Really good.
Yeah. And
good.
I, you know, I don't know where it'll go. I've written lots of stories.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know if I can... psychologically,
yeah,
and
it's,
you
hard,
know, put it into a book yet.
Right.
So, yeah, I worked at the State Department for 4 years directing the high school writing program,
mm-hmm,
for the state, and I'm lucky enough now for Jessamine County to ask me to be their writing,
good,
coach. So writing is, literacy in general is my background, and I think that they would be really proud.
I know they would. They would be beaming. In fact, I can see Ellistine right now carrying one of them books in, saying, look what I got. You know, it's so nice for those of us, Leanne, who can look upon our grandparents and be that proud. And, you know, I can do it. You can do it. And we had people in this community who are able to do that also. And one of the reasons we do this program is because we want to remember those people. We want to remember what they did to make the world for us. Because,
right,
what we do now, it comes out of what they did. I mean, it did. So that's why we like to remember them. I appreciate you coming in and talking to us. You know, we could talk for hours about those two, and we could tell stories about those two, and unfortunately, time is limited.
And he was a storyteller.
He
so
was.
I have a book of stories.
He,
you know,
was a storyteller. And I'll tell you what, he personally... meant so much to me and my family, but to me, working with him at that funeral home and spending every day with him and just getting to know him was certainly one of the highlights of my life and her too. When you work with a fella every day, and I'm not just talking about 8 to 5, because, you know, there was nights that we spent all night together in the embalming rooms, literally all night together. And, you know, he was with me when my brother was killed. I remember Ellistine and the way he treated me and in the room working. And I remember when your grandmother died, he and I working and to get her for her funeral. I mean, it was such an emotional time, but it's one that I wouldn't trade, because that's when you get to know somebody, when they're in their deepest depths. And you can, as you said, he liked to do, when you can comfort them. And that's what he did for me, and hopefully I did for him. But they were such joy people to know and such great contributors to this community that we hope that all will remember. And thank you for coming. I know it's been hard and emotional, but you know what? I'm glad that we've got it now preserved for on down the line. Great people. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I want to thank Leanne Hager for coming in today and sharing these great memories about her grandparents, Ellistine and Mae Florence Hager, two of the finest people that ever walked in Jessamine County. I appreciate you tuning us in every Saturday morning, also on All Things Jessamine. We'll do it again next Saturday at 11 o'clock. All Things by the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County here on Jess FM 105.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.